What a fucking game.
Welcome to Split the Defense. Leafs post-game edition.
Which is unusual.
There's still a chance.
Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.
I always feel so stupid.
Well, it seemed like they were missing something.
Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
Like, how can you not love this team tonight?
We're back on Split the Defense. Leafs post-game. I'm Webby with CP and producer Ted in the booth. Thumbs up this episode. Subscribe to our YouTube. Rate us 5 stars and leave us a comment. We love those. Massive night in the NHL. Playoff matchups are set. No goal 70 for Austin Matthews. Do the Leafs have a goalie problem? Leafs lose 5-2 to the Florida Panthers. So game 81 of 82 in the regular season, but did this game mean anything to you, CP?
I mean, the second period meant something, I feel like. Like, that was an absolute horrible second period. Like, it's kind of defining of this game, unfortunately, because, you know, the first period was really good. The third period, like, you know, not so horrible. But, yeah, that second period, to be the fourth most shots in his NHL history, just... That's brutal, especially I'm so glad that we don't have to play them now, because that was kind of a bad omen. I felt like I almost didn't want the comeback. Just, I don't know, bring on Boston, I guess. Like,
oh no,
brings back nightmares. But yeah, I just hated that second period. Just awful.
Yeah. So a little context to that. Good first period. They led 2-0 after the first and outshot Florida 14-7. David Alter tweeted in between periods, yeah, this game has the feeling of sending messages all over. And it did. It was physical. But Florida sure sent a message. The Leafs were outshot in the second, 31-4. And Verhaeghe scored 28 seconds in. Bennett, then Reinhart, 10 seconds apart. That put the Cats up 3-2. And a few minutes later, Montour from the point makes it 4-2. What the hell happened, CP?
It's hard to like put one thing that happened, but like basically they did the thing that they kind of got out of a groove of doing, but gave up a first minute goal. And then it snowballed from there, and just Florida just coming down the throats, especially of the Tavares line. Just that line just had a horrible night. Maybe
did you just hear what you just said?
No. Clip it. But yeah, just, oh, I think I did. Yeah, I did.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyways, yes, everybody was getting caved, especially Tavares, at Tavares line.
Yeah, Tavares and Willie had a really bad game too. Yeah, it's funny, like they even switched up the matchup because Sam Bennett was giving Tavares such a hard time, and then like they just decided to put Sam Bennett against Matthews a little bit too, to see if that could ruffle some feathers there. And yeah, it was just that is a playoff team. Like, there's no doubt about it. They obviously didn't come out as strong as they wanted. I'm talking about Florida, obviously. But just they just know exactly how to like get all the cheap shots that are never going to be penalties, get the Leafs tonight riled up, and they just do the kind of stupid stuff. And there's definitely some penalties that I thought were either like the Leafs came out on the bottom of when like I felt like Florida had the third man in. And but yeah, I don't know. They know how to do it. That's for sure.
Yeah, you want to talk about third man in? Matt Tkachuk, absolutely shit disturbing tonight.
Yeah.
First starting out with Tavares. Benny's in there like a dirty shirt. So it's... you know, it's a bit of a long clip, but he goes in and just starts manhandling Tavares, throws him to the ground. The thing I don't like here is Austin Matthews just skates away. But Benoit gets right in there, pulls him off, and then has to be pulled off by the ref after. But then he also got into it with JT after that and was pulled away from him. So, you know, there's lots of scrums tonight, including the McCabe one that he started. It was a chippy night between the two teams, and there was a lot of messages sent. So yeah, I'm glad they do not have to play in the first round, because it was a lot of, like you said, third man in, a lot of nastiness, whacks and slashes.
Yeah.
Just kind of glad we don't have to see that team potentially for another few weeks.
Yeah, in that last clip there, the one positive thing that came from that was that Nyes went right for Tkachuk, and like he would have taken every piece of him if he could have gotten to him. So I think that Nyes is going to be, I think, a impactful player in the playoffs. And like I saw it tonight, even though he's kind of in like the line that really didn't play that well, and he was part of it. He didn't have a good night with the puck on his stick, but it's the physicality. I felt like he was willing to get into those scrums. And I mean, I'm asking for so little, I guess, from a player, just to, you know, go after a guy that's, you know, making a nightmare of one of your teammates. But yeah, at least he'll do it for sure.
Yeah, Matthew Nyes is not afraid to mess it around, and we're thankful for that. But the Leafs, they're built this year to have snot and to get into that bullshit. But do you think that helped or hindered their game tonight?
I mean, it's funny because like in the first period, it helped. Like they were getting the upper hand, the physicality, like they were on the losing end of the penalties, but were still able to, like, they were winning 2-0 after the first. Everyone was praising them for how they played, but just like it all just switched off in the second. So like I think that there should have been, I was just waiting for like the Reeves line, and I guess it's the Kampf line, but you know, the Kampf line to just get pushed out there as much as possible, because like they were winning every minute that they were out there, and it was basically just on physicality. And like I think that Reeves got the like Mike skates, because like he's just way faster than he was a month ago. You know, like there's something special going on there. And that just proves like those guys aren't the most skilled, you know, but they're willing to go out there, lay a hit, forecheck hard, and they won their minutes. So it's just,
yeah. So potentially you think it had something to do with the, was it 5 or 6 penalties the Leafs took tonight?
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, you can't be taking some of those penalties, but like I said, like I felt like the refs kind of did a bad job, and then like they almost kind of like were like trying to do a makeup call, but like I felt like it was still a penalty. Like there was just so many penalties both ways, then they're just hand picking the Leafs ones, you know, like.
And yeah, it really felt it didn't feel like they were making up for anything, because it felt like very similar situations were being called very differently within the same game. The refs were just all over the place tonight. And a few of those penalties tonight, they were ticky-tacky. A few of them were very obvious. But, I mean, how many did they probably miss against Florida doing the same kind of shit that we just didn't pick up, that they called on the Leafs? So, like, I think the whole fact there was 5 or 6 penalties against the Leafs, it killed their momentum every time. Whether or not they give up a goal, it kills the momentum of the team trying to push back and get back in this game.
Yeah, and like even on that clip that we showed with Tkachuk, like on Tavares's back, like we came out with the penalty on that one, even though that Florida had the third man in, you know. So like, I don't know, it's just one of those where like it was the exact same scenario as the first like incident where there was a mix up, or maybe it was actually the opposite, I forget, but either way, one of them, the Leafs obviously had the third man in, and the other one, Florida obviously had the third man in. And both of them, we got the penalty on. So, like, yeah. And the hold on Tavares, like, hardly a hold. Like, you can't tell me that Florida didn't do that a million times that game. So, yeah. Crazy.
No, absolutely. All right. Well, we got to talk about our goaltending situation. Joseph Woll tonight. I mean, he was good in the first, like we said, didn't let in any goals. Couple of those goals were team effort, and I will say that you know, you can't really blame your goalie for them all, but like, what about the Montour goal?
Yeah, it's by far the worst one. I mean, it's not touched. That's kind of like, he saw it the entire way. It's the worst one. The other three, like, you can pick and find something that like was like he was hung out to dry in a way, but like we always say, when there's like a bunch of these in succession, like we just want like one of those saves would have been awesome. But like you're just drowning at that point though. Like if you have to make 31 saves in a period, like how many goals would you expect to let in? You know, like I would say 4, because like in the first 25, like you're probably on pace, and then the next like 5 to 6, like you're so tired at that point, you know, it's relentless. So I don't necessarily put the blame on Wall for that one. I mean, he did his best, and then yeah, one bad one.
That's fair enough. So who starts game one?
Yeah, I was going to say. But, like, okay, now we're in a situation where, like, Sammy played two bad ones and Wall let in a lot of goals. Like, not all his fault, but I don't know. We're in the worst situation.
Martin Jones?
Yeah, like Matt Murray, he won. On the
I haven't seen that guy in a while. Yeah, maybe he's good again. I don't know. I'm willing to find out.
Brutal. I mean, yeah, I wonder how Martin Jones would feel about that. He'd probably welcome it, but it's like, dude, I haven't played a game in like, you know, a month. So
yeah, I know. Start him in game one of the playoffs. So we need you now, bud, because like these guys, we do not trust them. I mean, you can't take away the whole 3 months of good work Samsonov's had since his little stint in the AHL where he didn't even play a game and came back. He's been good. But these last couple of starts, and then you see Joe Woll, and now we got Sammy again tomorrow, and we got like one last chance. But again, like half the team's going to be resting. And we'll get into that about our team. But, like, is it even going to really be a full squad? How's all this going to work out? Like, is it going to be a true showing for Samsonov tomorrow to get his feet back under him? Is it maybe just a game that he needs to build his confidence back?
I mean, it'd be great if he could come out and, you know, only let a couple in. And he looks great, makes some big saves, and we just feel confident again. But I think if he does have a bad game, we're probably still going with him. Because Wall just hasn't had a great game. You know, he's had a few good ones. You know, he's had some bad ones. But Sammy, I think, had a long enough stretch where, like, just neither goalie has stolen it here. Like we're just waiting for one of you to take it. And at this point, like, Sammy had taken it, but, he, you know, he's throwing it away again. So, but this all could just be, like, you know, nonsense tomorrow after we're doing post game if like he has a maybe
put yeah but does really... that even mean anything? That's my whole point. Like, we watch him tomorrow post game and we're sitting here going Sammy's great, but does it mean anything? Because it's the last game of the season. It means almost diddly squat. That's the crazy thing. And honestly, I don't think it matters that it's 82 games. I think you could play 162 games, which they do in baseball, in the last game, you know, sometimes it comes down to meaning something, but that's a weird playoff format. But in the NHL, I don't think it really means anything, even if it's a 60-game season or an 80-game season. The 82nd game, man, like, they're set. They know who they're playing. They know what's happening tomorrow. Nothing in this game really matters as long as you don't get hurt.
Yeah, like you kind of said at the, like, when you first asked the question, is it all about confidence? And, like, yeah, like, if that's the thing, is I don't know if anything's changing now. You know, like, unless he just has, like, the worst game of his entire life, like, it's still probably his net. Like, you just want him to build on it a little bit, because we're not making any drastic changes from a week ago if, like, we've only seen the other goalie once and he wasn't amazing tonight. So I think we're just, like, stuck in between a rock and a hard place.
So you think we're stuck with Sammy and Nat? Well, yeah. I guess that's fair. So here's the burning question. Do you think that a lot of tonight's loss had to do with them trying to get Matthews' goal 70 that never came?
I think there was a point where they decided that they didn't care about the win. That's like all they wanted. But no, I don't think that was why. Because like in the first period, I thought they really looked good and they weren't pushing it. In the second period, like there was four shots. Like, you know, they could hardly get into the other end in whole position. If they weren't shorthanded. So. And then, yeah, in the third, like, I feel like they tried for like 5 minutes and they were like, okay, let's try just to get Matthews this one. And Keith really pushed it at the end, you know, when you're playing Matthews like 6-on-4, when you're down 3 with 25 seconds left, like, I mean, that's only for 70.
Yeah. I wonder if the game plan was just going in, you know, like if we go down, who cares? Cause like, again, like your fate's set. Like, does it matter to you? Would it have mattered to you before whether you played Boston or Florida? Like, no. It's like, no, what devil do you want to dance with? Like, it doesn't matter. So I guess the big question is, does Matthews play tomorrow and try and get goal 70?
Yeah, good question. I think so. I think he does. It's such a big thing, you know, and like the more and more we talk about it and we're getting down to it, and even if he ends with 69, it'll still be an amazing season, but it's just one of those things. And it's like the reason he's in the heart conversation. Like, he wasn't in it until he got to like 65, you know, 66 goals, 67. People are talking about it. now that he's at 69, like every radio station is just like, is like 70 is like a huge deal. So other, like, I think that they'll do it just for that sake. And it kind of sucks that we're like, it's so individual. And, but if this is a team that's had playoff success, like you're not even thinking about it. It's just like, you're doing it. You know, you're...
No, I think it's a 50-50 shot. I don't think they're just doing it. I think, you know, like, I think that's why Keith played him so much tonight, even in the loss. Like, why would you play him so much back to back tomorrow? He just skated his bag off all night and he didn't get goal 70. And now you're going to put him back in again tomorrow. You knew you weren't going to win this game. Like, you try and get him goal 70. And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to rest him. And I think maybe that was part of why Sheldon Keefe played him like 8,000 minutes tonight.
Yeah, but like the thing is, I don't know if it's rest that's the reason. I think it's like injury related, because like they get two full days off, like they're almost three full days until the actual game starts. So like they're rested, but like, yeah, do you not want to risk the injury? Like that's where I'd be like, yeah, maybe, you know. But I think that like in 2.5 days, an athlete like that can recover. But
yeah, I mean, I think the trainers are going to have a lot more to do with it than Austin Matthews will. I think he's obviously a superstar. He's obviously going to have some say, but the sports scientists are going to get in the way here. And I'm not sure, like, if he plays tomorrow, I will be surprised. I'll eat my words. I've been wrong about a lot of things, but I personally don't think he plays tomorrow. And I think they make him sit at 69. Do you remember when Marner was 1 point away from 100 and they sat him in the last game?
Yeah. Yeah. This is Austin Matthews though.
You're right. And it's 70 goals.
And 100
it's not 100
points
isn't that big of a deal.
It's not.
But still, milestones mean shit to this team.
I think it'll tell us a lot, I think, on how important he thinks rest is. Because, yes, I think the sports scientists will recommend this and that. But this is Austin Matthews. It's his team. And I think that he gets the last say. So if he takes the recommendation, it'll just kind of tell me that, you know, he's... doesn't take as serious as the rest of us. But I would be on the opposite fence, though. I think I would be surprised if we don't see him, but we shall see.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. We got the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow night against the Leafs, the final game of the season, and we will see if Austin Matthews plays in that one, searching for 70. So we got to talk about Pontus Holmberg, who's just been a great story. On the Noah Gregor goal tonight, watch the forecheck of this man and the big hit that he lays, stand in front of the net there. He was a massive reason that goal went in. He started that play, and he was there when it finished. When the hell did the switch just flip? Because I remember there was a couple of one-handed things, but all of a sudden he just went from an up-and-down guy to a staple in the lineup.
Yeah, it's like I'd put it like a couple months ago, he started to bring way more physicality to his game, and it's kind of trickled into just being a more, you know, more useful, you know, consistent player. So like that play right there is just it. Those are the things that will matter in the playoffs. It's not about any point that he got, and like, yes, he got a point, but you know, it's about like the things like that matter. And I'm going to say it was a month ago that we heard from Keith that like he had noticed the big change in Holmberg and, you know, how important he was. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, this guy's never coming out of the lineup. Cause if Keith puts his seal of approval on a guy, like he's forever in the good books.
Is he like a 6th round pick or a 7th round pick?
I don't know. Was he even a pick? Like,
yeah, he was like a sixth. He was either a 6th or a 7th, like real late. And you don't see a lot of those guys make it. And for him to seemingly make it now, he's not that old. He's, you know, 25, maybe 26. He's making an impact. He's truly making an impact on this lineup. And he's taken himself from a replacement player playing in the Marlies and coming up when needed to, I'm not sure you can sit Pontus Holmberg. It's getting really tough with some of these depth and replacement players that we have at the bottom because they're really cementing themselves as actual NHLers on this team.
Yep, definitely. And like, I don't know if you have Nicky Bobby there on your sheet, but in a game where he, you know, doesn't produce points wise, still noticeable and still, you know, carrying the puck through traffic. He's being he like he handles a hit way better than he did, you know, like a 6 months ago even. So he's impressing me, not gonna lie. Even in the like tonight in the game, like third period, he's forechecking, like much bigger play. I don't know who it was, but much bigger defenseman that he has to go and initiate contact with, and he comes out with the puck. You know, he's got a low center of gravity, and he has said that he's put on a lot of muscle weight. So, I mean, like, he hasn't played much, so he's been in the gym a lot.
I work out.
Yeah. So I think he's kind of getting to this point with, depending on Bobby McMahon, like, he might be squeezing his way in.
Yeah. Bobby McMahon, the status of him is still up in the air right now. Just haven't heard much about him.
Yeah. Hearing less favorable things than the Domi front.
Yes. So he should be back for game one.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, yeah, so many guys have just been so good this year. Like, even Simon Benoit quietly skated in his 200th regular season game tonight of his career. Yeah. So, like, that guy's a legit NHLer. Like, what was it, December? He was being scratched.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He went through waivers.
He went through waivers exactly this year. He went down to the minor leagues. Like, it's just nuts, the turnaround we've seen on some of these guys who we thought might not even be a part of the team to start the year.
Yeah, definitely.
So what else you got on this game here, CP? I think I'm out of things.
I mean, I think the most concerning thing tonight was the Lyubushkin and Riley pairing. The other two pairings look pretty solid. You know, Edmondson made a couple weird plays, but it didn't look good for them. And like, they do get tough minutes, but when you're on for, I think, all of the 5-on-5 goals, so that's not good. I give a guy a break if you're on for a couple penalty or like on the PK, but when you're on for all of the 5-on-5 goals, that's not a situation that's working really well. I'm not sure if it's matchup, if it's assignment, I don't want to change the other pairings though. And like, there's no way I'm throwing Brody back up on the top pair. So
we had new toy syndrome with Ilya Lyubushkin, I think. And I think he's showing his true colors here. And I'm not sure he's exactly the player that we got the last time that is going to fit that exact spot. I think he's matured into more of who he is. And I think who he is might not exactly be the person to fill that top pairing role next to Riley. I'm just not sure he's the guy. I just really wish that Joel Edmondson was right-handed.
Yeah. Lyubushkin's a band-aid type of a player here. We just don't have a top right defenseman. And he's kind of was the only thing that we could get our hands on that was okay. I still don't like mind him. Like, I think he's, like, I think going to bring more physicality than he did tonight. Like, I saw him pass up on a couple hits, and I just don't think he does that in the playoffs. And that's one of the big things that he provides, you know? So hopefully this is just it's not a trend. It's not like they've been on for like a ton of goals recently. Like, Brody has been the punching bag for the last couple games. So, yeah, I just hope that it doesn't look like it did tonight. Same with the Tavares, like just the that whole five of them are just, I need a different version of all of you.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But I wonder how much that contributes into trying to get Matthews to 70. It's 81 of 82. They know what's happening. They don't really care who they play. I honestly don't think they did care who they play, because like, I don't. I've been watching them every single game. So like, why would, at this point, like, both teams are you're going to be the underdog either way, is the way to put it. Yeah. So, you know, and like, I don't know how much you take away from it.
This Florida team is just so familiar, where Boston, it's like there's a lot of a different version of this team that gave us nightmares, right? So, yeah, I think that's also one way that I'm looking at it. It's just, it's a different version of Boston. So,
on the flip side, had they have won, we would have come in here, we would have been super overconfident that we just, like, if it was 5-2 for the Leafs, we beat the shit out of the Panthers and we're playing them in the first round.
We want Florida.
And yeah, we would have been absolutely disgusting. And at the end of the day, like, this game probably really meant very little. I hope we would have had the hindsight in a win, but, you know, to sit here and look at it like that, it's probably the truth. We would have thought it meant something for the playoffs, and it would have been nice to see the team gear up. It is game 81, right? Like, Do you not feel like tonight's defense core was the playoff defense? Like, I kind of do. I feel like that's the first game playoff defense. And it would have been nice to see the team kind of gear up and play in that way rather than you chasing these milestones. And, like, as much as you say you don't think it contributed to the whole game, I think it contributed a lot more than you think. And I think Matthews probably would have had two if he wasn't searching for 70.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. Another thing I want to circle back slightly to the Riley thing is, like, he's been a couple years now where he's slowed down towards the end of the year, and then game one starts and he's just amazing.
Oh yeah. We're just waiting for playoff Morgan Riley. That guy is just going to be an absolute beast.
Yeah.
So, before we get into playoff talk, I want to talk about the Philly situation. So the Washington Capitals clinched the 16th and final playoff spot. They have a minus 37 goal differential. That's absolutely crazy. With this goal tonight,
to attack her out, and Oshie with a chance to put it away, will do just that. The other game has gone to overtime. Won't matter for the Flyers, but for the Capitals, that's a huge goal as they take a 2-1 lead, and they are 3 minutes away from a playoff berth.
To summarize this, Detroit scored with 3 seconds left in the Montreal game tonight to stay alive and keep their chances alive. With 30 seconds later, Philly pulls its goalie in the 1-1 tie because Philly needed a regulation win against Washington to make the playoffs. So they pulled their goalie in a 1-1 tie, and the Caps scored, eliminating the Flyers, the Wings, and the Penguins.
Unreal.
Wow, that's madness.
Yeah.
That is absolute madness. I've never in my ever, that's some galaxy brain shit right there, pulling your goal. 3 minutes left to go to, like, that's a long time to skate around knowing it's over. I mean, I'd have done it at a minute and a half, maybe. Like, I know I wouldn't have given him a whole ton of time, but it's a lot less time for that shit. Because that now you just feel horrible about yourself for the next 180 seconds. You got to skate around that rink. There's still 3 minutes left on the clock at that point. Brutal, brutal way to end your season. I'm sure John Tortorella wasn't yelling at anybody in the room after that.
No, it's a great way to end your season, I think. To be going, like, it's way better than just being out like 10 days ago, right? Like, just to go for it at the
glass
very
half
end.
Full.
Yeah, like, you just... There's nothing better than like a chase for something, even if it doesn't come out on top. And you did something that like not everyone gets that does very often. Like, you couldn't win in overtime. So like, it was literally you had to win in 60 and they went all out. So, and also just remember last year that
3 minutes.
Yeah. Last year it was like a month left in the season and everybody knew who they were playing, who was in the playoffs.
Yeah. And that sucked.
Yeah. And so like for it to come down to game 81 to decide between four teams is unreal.
It's fun for them, but I mean, I guess like we didn't know whether we were going to play the Bruins or the Panthers, but I mean, like, either way, like, we knew that's who we were going to play. And like, this playoff format is kind of shitty in that way, but
Oh yeah,
for those four teams, what a massive night. And Washington ends up coming out of it with a pulled goalie. The funny thing is on the broadcast, I think it was Marty Biron was on the broadcast, and he says the situation that can happen, and like 10 seconds later it comes back, and oh yeah, it just happened. There's the highlight, and it's over. So Washington with the 16th and final Stanley Cup playoff spot. So we have our matchups now. Toronto versus Boston, Tampa versus Florida, New York versus Washington, Carolina versus New York Islanders, Avs versus Jets, Dallas versus Vegas, Vancouver versus Nashville, and Edmonton versus LA.
Nice. Those are some good matchups.
So we are going to have hockey, playoff hockey starting Saturday, right? Saturday,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
And it is going to be hockey every single day for a week. It's going to be madness. So much hockey to watch coming up. And Toronto-Boston's obviously going to be fun. I might tune into Tampa-Florida a little bit. They'll probably be on the off day. But what's your favorite series besides Toronto-Boston or, producer Ted, Avs and Jets?
Yeah, It's hard to go through. I was just thinking while you're talking there to not answer your question like I normally do. Is like the Islanders to me just squeaking in at a bottom spot. They're playing Carolina. That's a team that I feel like could do something as a lower seed.
So that's the one.
No, I don't want to watch that series.
Yeah, that sounds like horrible.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch all the Canadian ones, definitely. As much as I can, at least. So I guess like Edmonton, who is Edmonton playing?
Edmonton's playing LA, and I think that'll be fun, but I also think the funnest series in this, just to butt in here, is going to be Nashville and Vancouver.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the funnest. Nashville's been really hot since the coaches took away their U2. So they might actually take a push, but Vancouver's like really good. So, you know, I think either way, both that has the chance to be a more high scoring affair than Carolina and New York Islanders. I think the Rangers mop the Capitals. Tampa, Florida is probably going to be a good series. They're going to be a bloodbath, the Battle of Florida State. And obviously the Avs and the Jets is going to be huge while we watch with the Jets Leafs and Boston.
Get Jets. Fucked.
I knew something was coming.
Jets in four. That's fucking brutal. Yeah. Well, no touchdowns in the playoffs. We won't see that.
That'll definitely be a good, like a tough series though. Like maybe not.
It's going to be a fun one to watch.
A really good and fun series. Yeah. Winnipeg just like, they're kind of having a, like, I don't know. It's funny how good of a season they've had and just absolutely nobody decides to talk about. Everyone refuses to talk about Winnipeg as much as possible, but that's a good team. And so the Avs obviously are too. So yeah, that'll be fun to see.
Absolutely fun to see.
I'm cheering for the Jets.
Cheering for the Jets. Well, I am not. I'll be cheering for the Colorado Avalanche.
All right, go Boston.
Yeah, of course. Fuck this. Go what Canada. What happened?
I cheer for Canada. Sorry, Ted.
Oh, God. All right. Get out of here. Yeah. All right. Anyways, we're going to wrap this one up. We'll be back tomorrow after the Tampa game for game 82 of 82 before we switch into playoff mode, split the defense. That's a wrap for now. Thanks for joining us for Split the Defense, Leafs post game. We appreciate your comments. To show your support, hit that like button. Subscribe on YouTube. Please rate and review the show. We want your feedback. Find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
Boston and four.
Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs postgame edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.